Welcome to the O Woman Podcast, where we discuss oh so many things about women's sexuality, bodies, thoughts, and lives. We'll talk about everything from our relationships to our orgasms to our children and our ovaries, and we'll share outstanding experiences and ordinary ones. I'm Emma, and a big open welcome to you. Thanks for joining me for the show today. This is episode 50 of the O Woman Podcast. And because to me the number 50 episodes is a milestone for me, I wanted to spend a little bit of today talking about women and milestones, and specifically related to their age and how we think about women's roles and what they're supposed to be doing when they're certain ages in their life, and what it means to turn these ages to different women. So I feel really proud of myself that this is the 50th episode, that I had this idea. I really wanted to keep doing it. You know, whether or not anybody was listening, and I know some people are, and that makes me feel really great. But it's just something that I wanted to share with people, the world, anybody, no matter what, because this is the kind of stuff that I love to talk about. It's the kind of stuff that's important to me. It's the kind of stuff that I think people should be open about and share, at least, if not with everyone, in a safe space, in a safe venue, so that they feel like they are connected to other women, other people in the world, and that they share experiences. Because really, honestly, you really do. That's the human condition. You share experiences with so many other humans because you're more alike than you are different, really, if you think about it in the long run. But I feel, you know, I don't feel ashamed to admit that I'm really proud of myself personally. To me, it's definitely a really big personal milestone to have gotten to episode 50, even though, you know, if I do one every day, it's been approximately, what, I guess, about 10 weeks, pretty much, because I generally do, you know, Monday through Friday, except, you know, holidays or different things like that. So that's been about 10, 11 or so weeks of doing episodes. And when I think about it like that too, I think that, man, that's a good stretch of time, and my interest still hasn't flagged. I'm still really excited to record episodes and to share them with you guys. And I really hope and also will seek to maintain, the relationship that I have with the podcast and how much it means to me. It definitely gives me an outlet to be myself and to say things I want to say to everybody ever, but you know, you can't say it to anybody, and you can't say it necessarily at your jobs, or, you know, it depends on where you work and who you're with and stuff. So 50 is a really big number when it comes to age too. I know that I can't think of any woman that I've ever met and spoken to that hasn't turned 50 with at least some sense of a feeling that it's a big moment in their life. Same goes, I think, for 40, for 30, for 20, and then a lot of other birthdays in between. So I want to talk about just how I felt, especially because that's really the best thing I can think of to share, is how I felt when I turned different ages. And then just what I know about the general norm, about what we believe women are supposed to be doing at this age or that age, or, you know, certain things like that. So for me, the first big birthday wasn't 16 like it is for a lot of people, because I didn't start driving when I first turned 16. I was really freaked out about controlling a car. And then when I had my permit, I got in a wreck, and it was really horrifying and upsetting. And so I kind of held off on getting my license. So I had my permit when I was 15, and I just continued to have my permit until I think sometime when I was 17. So, but generally 16 is a big milestone age for men and women, or, you know, teenagers of both genders. Because it's kind of the age where you have some sense of independence. It signifies independence because finally that's the age where you can drive. Whether or not you are driving isn't so much a thing as, hey, I'm old enough now to where the country that I live in thinks I'm responsible enough. I mean, that's kind of debatable, but responsible enough to drive places, which is, you know, you're operating a dangerous piece of machinery. We have to think you're responsible if we're giving you that right, you know? So that's a really big deal. And then you're also nearing, you know, the end of high school generally when you're 16. So that's a really exciting time too. So 16 marks kind of the beginning of independence. And in my experience with my group of friends, or just my peers in high school, I feel like that was also around that time. I can't say that it was for sure 16, but around that time when it became a better time or a more okay time for the young girls that I was friends with, the teenagers, to start thinking more about sex, like whether or not they actually did it. 16 was sort of an empowerment age, and so it was talking about sex, you know, maybe even some people doing it, you know, even though you're still really young, it feels like I'm a grown-up enough person, I can do it now. I mean, and I think it depends on who you are as a person. I don't think most people I know could have been mature enough emotionally, physically, in a relationship, that kind of thing, to actually have been safe and made the right decision about having sex when you're as young as 16. But it depends on the person, probably. So after 16, you know, the next big one is 18. And this is the ultimate birthday that celebrates independence. My 18th birthday was, I suppose, this was, you know, probably my bigger birthday. It was the same as, probably as everybody else's. You're thinking, I'm legal now. I can buy cigarettes if I want to. And I don't know if I did. I can't imagine if I did or not. Perhaps I did just to do it, and I never smoked them until probably like years later when they were stale and horrible. But it's a time when you're totally independent, because now there's a legal connection with you being independent. You're legally independent, and you have to be a better decision maker. You have to think more about what you're doing. And also, 18 is when you're graduating from high school and thinking about going to college. And so this time for me was a really big turning point, because I was going to college. I was going to New York University in Manhattan for theater, and I auditioned and I got in, and I auditioned for the studio I wanted and I got in, and I got the dorm I wanted and I got in. You know, I got everything I wanted. It was perfect. But still, you know, classic of this time period, you're still really unsure about what it is you're supposed to be doing, especially because you've gone through the education system. You've just been in school for your whole life, pretty much, and you haven't had that much time to actually think about what you have to offer the world that isn't necessarily funneled through college. Like, it's, you don't learn when you're in high school, like, what the other options are. Like, oh, I could skip college, or I could do this, or I could do that. There isn't so much of a focus on a trade or a practice or something like that. The focus is much more on keep going to school. There you will find your calling, which works for some people, but for most doesn't. If you look at the amount of people in our country that have college degrees that they're not using, and then the amount of people that are successful without college degrees, and that's kind of, that trend is fading a little bit just because, you know, college degrees are becoming more and more like a high school degree in two ways, in that they're more common, like high school degrees used to be, but also in that colleges aren't as rigorous, or they're accused of being less rigorous than they were in the past. And so college means less because the people graduating aren't any more well-educated than those graduating from high school in the past. You know, that's one of the thoughts about it. But for, on a different level, 18 for me was a big deal because I was going to college, I was going to be independent, I was going to go out on my own, and then I decided I didn't want to. Not that I didn't want to be independent, but I didn't want to go to NYU. I didn't want to go to New York. I didn't want to live there. I didn't want to go that far away. And it was a really hard decision to make. And I made it after I was already up there, right as we were moving me in. And I remember all the feelings that I had about, we're moving my stuff in and I'm excited but really nervous. And then realizing this is not right. Something in my gut is telling me that I don't need to be doing this. And I know part of it was fear, of course, but that wasn't the primary driving factor. The main thing that, I don't know, I can't tell, even tell you what it was. I knew intuitively somewhere that my life, I was making a choice between a life where I lived for others, because theater is innately lived for others in many ways. You're watched, you're seen to be an actress, which is what I wanted to be. You're viewed all the time, and you become who you are, you know, on your own, but you also become a person that other people perceive you to be. And I somehow decided I needed to put my foot down for myself, and I didn't want to be anything other than my creation of myself. And I wanted to have a life or a job or whatever I was focused on at the time, which wasn't a career-oriented path. I wanted that to be of my own making and not dependent on others' approval all the time, because innately you must have that for theater and for acting, because one in bazillion actually make it, and you are criticized and, you know, compared to others nonstop and chosen or rejected nonstop. Which is an okay thing if that's what you want to do, but I realized that's not who I wanted to be. I didn't want to have to think about where the line was between who I wanted to be and who I was. I didn't want there to be a line. I wanted that to be the same person all the time, who I wanted to be and who I was. And so I made the decision, and a lot of my family thought, this is stupid. Like, I could tell. They didn't treat me exactly the same a few years after. They thought, you're throwing your life away. My parents, on the flip side, were utterly supportive. I think they were grateful that I wasn't so far away, but they have just always had faith in me and believed that I can make great decisions based on my intuition and my knowledge and my understanding, because they perceived me as an adult from an early age as a capable, smart person, and I really have always appreciated that about them. They've never tried to make me someone I'm not. So that was a big 18 for me, because I was 18 when all this stuff happened. And so I had a really different life trajectory than the average college student does, because most of my friends, actually every single one of my friends at the time, was in college. And they were doing the 4-year plan. I think I had a friend or two that took a year off, or took a semester off and was going to go right after, and then they did, you know. And so it was really different, because I was 18 and then I moved out, a few months after that. After making the decision, like 4 or 5 months, I got my own apartment. The same town where my parents lived, but I got my own apartment. I lived with a friend. And I started to create my home. And the first while of that was pretty dark and hard, because without having anybody around me who was doing the same thing as myself, all my peers were doing different stuff. It was a little bit of a dark place to be in. It was hard to figure out what my real intention was for myself, what my purpose was for myself. And for the first probably 6 months, I was probably, I guess, depressed. In the moment, I didn't know that I was. I wasn't happy, but I didn't think, I'm so depressed I can't get out of bed, you know? But I really couldn't get out of bed that well, and so I think that's what it was. But then something happened. I started realizing what my potential was. And I was, you know, I was working at a school part-time. I was working at a restaurant part-time. And I wasn't too concerned about career paths at that point. I was more concerned about creating my home identity and thinking of ways to be creative with myself. I have always been a very home-oriented person, and to me, the ultimate measure of not just a woman, but of a person is the ability to make a home, just by yourself, or with the things that you love. And then you carry that knowledge with you into the relationships you have, and then you combine homes and you make them fantastic. But your ability to take the hominess that you know you have and you know you can create and take it and put it somewhere. And it was hard because I'd only ever lived in one house ever. The house I grew up with, it was my parents' house. It was the same one. They never moved. So it was like, oh my God, can I do this? I've never even had to try besides like a summer camp one summer, you know? And I realized I could do it. And it helps that I was starting, I've mentioned this before, my first like sexual relationship with a boyfriend who was my friend before that. So I felt really comfortable in that. And so I was able to safely, you know, begin exploring myself, which a lot of that had to do with exploring my sexuality and who I was as a sexual being. And so that was it became a great time. So being 19 was just fantastic, because it was after that, the up and down roller coaster that I felt when I was 18. But 19 wasn't, you know, like a milestone year. And then when you get to 20, 20 is a milestone, because you're not a teenager anymore. You finally feel like you're allowed to know stuff. I mean, you know stuff before that, but you finally feel like you're allowed to have an adult conversation with others and say, no, excuse me, I disagree, blah, 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 here's why. Because you can say, I am 20. No one can say, you teenager. You can say, I'm not a teenager. You know, that's at least in my mind something that was important to me. It's interesting because there's so many milestones when you're younger, age-wise. We don't always focus on the milestones that aren't related to age, like women getting their period or women having a sexual relationship for the first time, and things that are important to your whole psyche in your life, we just don't think about them as much. But I mark the big important moments through age, if something happened that was valuable in that year. But as I said before, there's some sort of innate feeling that comes with turning a certain age, because everybody believes you are this way. They finally know, okay, they're grown up, you know, or whatever. So then after being 20, you have 21, which is of course fantastic, because you can now do everything any other grown up can do, except, you know, rent a car and rent a house, you know, things like that happen when you're like 25 or 26. But being able to buy beer is really exciting, even though I didn't really drink that much beer. That was great, being able to do that. And then on a different level for men or for males, you have to go and sign up for the draft or whatever that is, you know, get your draft card, which to me, as a boy, I would be so scared. No, that happens when you're 18. Sorry. But still, like, before that, that would be, like, a really, like, my gut just fell out of my stomach. You know, I'm just like, oh my God, that's so scary. And I can't imagine what'll happen if I have a son, like, when he gets to be of that age, I'll want to say, no, don't do it, you know, because it's such a scary thing. Because it's not just you're 18, you're grown up, you're 18, you may now be called on to serve your country, and therefore you may also be called to die, which is sad. And I mean, I have a great respect for people in the military, all branches of the military, completely, but it's such a level of bravery that I don't have that, and I don't know, I who knows if my son will have that, I hope not. I mean, I hope he's brave, I just hope he's not interested in you know, fighting. It makes me scared, but if he is, I'll support him, you know, that's how it works. So I got off on a little tangent on that one, but after 21, I feel like when I turned 21, from that time until I was like 25, I really felt like I'd hit my stride. That was the time for me. I was really starting to feel comfortable with my womanness, and I felt like I was able to create a home for myself, like I talked about. I felt like a grown-up when I was probably 19 or 20, versus a lot of my friends, through talking with them. I mean, they felt grown-up, but they didn't feel like, I am a grown-up. I have my own home, you know, that kind of a concept. And so that's something that was different because I wasn't in college. I didn't go to NYU, and then I didn't go at all until I was 24, I think. And then I finished in 3.5 years, and I studied 3 majors, and I went through like zip, zip, zip. And I enjoyed that, but it was definitely a different pathway because I kind of did everything in reverse. First I learned how to be a grown-up, then I went to college, instead of going to college and then learning how to be a grown-up after. It was kind of a neat combination, and I'm so glad that I chose that for myself. I think that's the best for me and my life, obviously, and my personality. I think turning 25 for me was probably the best milestone. Because it doesn't come with any, you know, actual new stuff like 18. You have new, you know, you are now legally responsible for this and that. 21, you can now drink. It didn't actually come with anything that went with it, except, I guess, renting a car, which I didn't even do at the time. But it was like you're a quarter of a century old. And my husband just turned 25, like, this year, like, a few days ago. And I think it's just a really exciting time to be. Is 25. You're a quarter century. You're solidly in your 20s. You're not yet in your 30s, which is a whole nother milestone altogether when people think you have to have done this, this, and this. But 25 is kind of the time when I feel like at least society gives you permission to become an adult and explore yourself. And I think really, honestly, there's a concept in human development and family studies, it's called emerging adulthood. It's a whole other phase of life that they've decided to label, and it's from ages of 18 to 24. And I feel like that can be a fine, like, I could see that as a discrete time in someone's life. It's when the young adults are learning how to be young adults, you know, and really finding their stride. But I don't think it should be called young adulthood in that it allows adults of that age to say, oh, I can just kind of coast for a while. 18 to 24 isn't a time when you coast, and I feel like a lot of people do that. To me, it's a time when you start to really evaluate and think, like, who am I really? I mean, I know who I've been told to be, and I know what kind of person school expects me to be, but how can I think outside the box in 800 ways? And now is the time for me to do that. Right, you know, it's before I have all these college debts, if you go to college. It's before I make commitments to people for my whole life. Now is the time to reflect on who I want to be and who I am. And I feel like I had done that in a really good way before ended that time period, but when I got to 25. So when I was 25, I thought, I know what I'm doing. I might not know what I'm doing. Like, what is your plan for your job, or who are you going to marry? Like, but is that really that important? To me, what's really important when it comes to milestones is knowing who you are and being able to tell everyone about it without fear. To me, that's the biggest milestone. And I definitely was there when I was 25. And I mean, I've been there, I feel like, I was there a long time before that. But I think being unapologetic about who you are is such a big second step to actually knowing who you are. And I think that I felt really clear about when I was around 25. I feel like 25, 26, those are my favorite ages. I don't really know why, but, I mean, probably because that's during the time period where I met my husband now, and so everything was extra exciting because of that. But so 25 is kind of a big time, and it's also a big time for, I feel like, adults to think, okay, what's next now? So what's my plan? Am I planning to try to get married soon? Do I want to be married? Do I want to have a family? Do I not? What kind of, do I really want to focus on my career? What's important right now? What do I want to do all these things simultaneously? So that's kind of a big milestone because you're having to think really hard about what you want to do. And a lot of people too, interestingly, society thinks that when you're 25, you're kind of supposed to know who your life partner is. And you're kind of supposed to know if you want to picket fence and this and that and how many kids you want. But the reality is a lot of people don't know what they want at 25 in that way. They know who they are and what they want out of life, but they don't know the avenues that they necessarily want to go down to get it, which is okay. There shouldn't be pressure on people to have made specific decisions by certain times. People should just feel their own motivation behind following their own path, figuring out their own identity at these periods of time. And now, right now, I'm 28, and I feel the pressure of 30 coming toward me. And I'm so surprised that I feel this way. I'm very surprised because I never have much cared about that kind of thing. I didn't think, but the idea of turning 30 simultaneously scares me and excites me. And so it's really interesting. And I've decided that what I want to do is I definitely want to have a big birthday party for myself. So that if there is any like, oh, I'm 30, what have I done with myself feelings? You know, that's dissolved by how exciting it is to have the people I love around me. So I definitely want to do that. And I don't even have those feelings that, oh, what have I done with myself? Really? It's just something about the belief that when you're 30, you're supposed to be like on top of the universe, like still young, but totally in charge of stuff. And it's supposed to follow a certain set pattern that idea, you know, affects me. But I don't actually believe it. So it's this really weird thing. It's this horrible place to be, which is actually a fine place to be at the same time. I know a lot of women who aren't married when they're 30 feel the pressure like, I'm not married, I'm 30. What does that mean? Am I an old maid? No, it doesn't mean that. I have known plenty of women who didn't find their life partner, or they found a partner that wasn't the right one, and then they got divorced or whatever, and they found a new life partner after they were 30. And plenty of women have children after they're 30, or even decide they want to have children after they're 30. Your body can do it. As long as you're staying healthy, your body is going to be fine having babies up until you're 40. And then after 40 or late 30s is when the risk of some, you know, issues with your baby rise. But there's still not so much that you can't have children and that you can't be excited and believe you're going to have a healthy baby. I mean, it's just the way it is. For a long time, I think the stigma was women who are older having kids. There was a stigma because they're thinking, oh, that's not natural. But I mean, you people, it is natural. It's just the way it's, you know, socially different for different people. So I think that for me, 30 is going to be a pretty big milestone. Because I can look back and think of what it is. You know, now I've been around as an adult. This is the thing I realized recently. Now when I'm 28, but when I'm 30, definitely. I've been around long enough as an adult. Like, I've been around as an adult for a decade. That's kind of insane to think about. So when I talk to my friends about things that have happened, I could say, actually, that was a decade ago. Which to me is really cool. Because that means I have so many years of adulthood. It reminds you how much practice you've really had knowing what you're doing. And so everything else is kind of a cakewalk. You just keep doing what you know you need to do. That big scary thing that is being grown up, you already did it, whether you knew you did it or not, you already did it. And if your version of grown up doesn't look like someone else's, it doesn't matter because you've done it already. If you can take care of yourself, you know, maybe not necessarily if you are taking care of yourself now, but if you can take care of yourself, if you can know who you are, if you can tell other people who you are, if you can be responsible for yourself and your life and for the things that you've chosen to care for, then you've grown up, you know? So I think we should totally lose all of this stress on what you should be at 30, you know? And for me, turning 30 is going to be exciting too, because that's probably going to be around the time that Jason and I plan to start having kids or get pregnant or something. And I'm really excited about that. So, I mean, we're definitely going to wait a few years, but I think around 30 will be probably the time when we decide it's the best. And so I think it's going to be a really a really rich, full of life kind of a year. And then I hope my 30s will be like that too. Turning 40, you know, I have obviously never turned 40, but I imagine that it's another big milestone, just like 30. This is the time period when some people start to think, am I middle-aged now? And it depends on who you ask. Are you middle-aged? But does it actually matter? Really what it's about here is, are you healthy? Because 40 is the time when, you know, your body is starting to, you can feel that things are changing. I mean, I noticed personally that my body started changing, and not going downhill, but not being as resilient, you know, just naturally as resilient, probably a couple years ago. And I mean, at a certain point, that's around the time when literally your body starts to die. You're constantly making new cells and making new cells, up until you're around, you know, your mid 20s. And then after that, that ability and that occurrence starts to drop off. And so your body, you know, starts to quote unquote die. I mean, not really, but it isn't going to be as rejuvenated, naturally every time anymore. Which is an okay thing. That's part of the process of life, and it shouldn't be scary. But being 40, I feel like it's probably a good time to really just assess your health and make sure that you're doing good, healthy stuff for your life and your family. Because when you're 40, you have so many more decades left that you really want to make sure you're spending them in a good way. Being 50, I remember when my mom turned 50. To her, like, age was never such a thing. But I remember thinking, oh my God, to me, my mom seems old now. And now, to me, that's not old, because I'm older and I can compare and say, oh, I know people that are 50, they seem like my friends. Like, so therefore they're not old. My friends aren't old, so, you know, that kind of thing. But 50 is a big deal, because it's half of 100. I mean, just when you think of that, it's half of a century, which is an achievement in its own, to have gotten to 50 and still be a sane person and still be happy. You know, I think that's a big deal. And then beyond that, really, it's kind of a decade related thing. I feel like the milestones are related more to, you know, decades. There's not as much focus on, you know, 45, you know, that kind of thing. 55, it's more about being 50 and about being 60. And then when you get up into the 90s and things like that, I mean, you've just clearly had a successful life if you've made it that far. And hopefully you've had a healthy one, you know, all that kind of stuff. And I hope all of you get to make it to 100 if you're happy and you're healthy. And if that's what you want, you know, I hope you live long, but not just live long with health and happiness and a sense of purpose. Because, you know, I always think quality of life is so much more important than length of life. Quality of everything is so much more important than the length of it. And so making sure that you take care of yourself, you know, in the best way possible and are a happy person, and think of ways to, you know, to cater to yourself as much as you possibly can, to make sure that you're contributing your joy to the world. 'Cause that's really the best thing you have to offer. I think definitely. So happy 50th episode from O Woman Podcast. I felt really excited about this milestone for me, and I wanted to just kind of share my thoughts about milestones. I would be curious to know what your thoughts about milestones are. Like, what age was important to you, or what event in your life you thought was a big determining factor of being a grown-up or of being yourself? I know it's different for everybody, and I love these kind of personal stories. So if you have one you want to share, I would love for you to let me know. You can email me, emma@owomanpodcast.com. You can comment on the website, which is owomanpodcast.com. Find O Woman Podcast on Facebook. You just search O Woman Podcast. There it is. And make sure you subscribe on iTunes to the episode. So if you haven't heard many so far, keep in mind that there's 49 others than this one that you can hear. And you can always check it out on the website under episode archives and get a glimpse of just what the hell I'm doing here on O Woman Podcast. Usually we talk much more about sex and bodies and things like that. But today, since the, you know, O Woman Podcast is so much about our identity and our lives, milestones have so much to do with identity. And so I wanted to address that today. But subscribe on iTunes and please rank the episodes, you know, give them stars 1 to 5. As always, I want to thank you for listening. As I mentioned in the beginning, this is just one of the things I know I'm meant to do, is share just things like this, whether or not one person's listening or 1 million. I feel very grateful that I get to talk to you guys every day. So thanks once again, and I'll talk to you guys on Monday. All right, bye.